If you've ever, spent any time in traditional markets, stocks, bonds, that kind of thing, you get the basic idea of trading. You want to buy, you put in an order, a seller wants to sell, they put in theirs, and then a system, a centralized exchange, it matches you up.
Right. It's all about finding that one other person, that counterpart at that exact moment.
Exactly. And for decades, that model, the central limit order book, or CLOB, well, that was pretty much the only game in town.
It was. But today we are diving deep into what happens when you decide to just take that entire central matching system, that whole middleman, and just throw it out.
That's the core conflict we are digging into for you today. Our mission is to really get to the bottom of decentralized trading. So we're talking decentralized exchanges or DEXs, and this really powerful mathematical engine that makes them work, the automated market maker or AMM.
And we're going way beyond the buzzwords here. We're going to look at the actual math, the real risks for the people providing the money, the liquidity providers, and understand why a formula you probably learned in high school algebra is suddenly running a multi-billion dollar financial system.
Yeah, this deep dive is your shortcut. By the end of this, you will get the mechanics, you'll understand the math and the risks, which honestly is crucial knowledge for anyone in this space.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's unpack this. I think we should start with the old way, because if you understand the problem, the solution makes so much more sense. So traditional finance and centralized crypto exchanges all use that central limit order book.
Right.
What were the weaknesses there that DeFi really needed to solve?
Well, the CLO model is powerful, don't get me wrong, but it completely relies on finding those perfect matches. A specific buyer, a specific seller, at a specific price.
It's like a huge spreadsheet, right? Run by the exchange.
Exactly. And if you want to buy, say, 100 units of token A at exactly $10, but no one's selling at $10, well, your order just sits there.
It's empty.
It's empty. It needs this massive, constant flow of human activity to work well. And it's incredibly capital intensive for the company running the whole show.
And crucially, it's subject to things like trading hours or downtime, and maybe most importantly in the crypto world, censorship risk. The exchange is a single gatekeeper.
That's the big one. So when DeFi came along, they couldn't just copy that CLOB model onto a blockchain. Blockchains are, generally too slow, and the transaction fees are too high to handle all the millions of orders and cancellations that a CLOB needs to function.
So instead of trying to just make the old system a little better, they introduce something genuinely new, a novel primitive, the automated market maker.
The AMM. Yeah, that is the fundamental innovation here.
So instead of human orders, we get an AMM.
Right. It's just a mathematical formula. It's not people setting prices anymore. It's an algorithm that determines the price of an asset automatically. We're literally replacing human intentions with a piece of code.
Which is a game changer.
A total game changer, because it means trades can happen 24/7 without needing a person on the other side. So the key takeaway here is AMMs replace order books, period.
Okay, let's get to the math. Because when people first hear about this, they assume it's got to be, I don't know, complex calculus or something.
Right.
But the formula for the early AMMs, like Uniswap V2, it's shockingly simple. What is that constant product formula?
It's built on just one very elegant rule. X multiplied by Y must always equal K.
So X times Y equals K.
That's it. X times Y equals K.
And just to break that down, X, Y, and K are simple variables, right?
Super simple. X is just the quantity of token A in the pool. Y is the quantity of a token B, and K is the constant, the total product. After every single trade, the new amounts of X and Y have to multiply together to equal that same original K. That's the whole mechanism.
Okay, here is where it gets really fascinating for me. How does that simple formula, something from high school algebra, actually make sure there's always liquidity and that the prices just adjust itself?
It's that constant K. The idea that K can't change is what forces the system to act like a market. So imagine K is, say, 100. If you have 10 of X and 10 of Y, that works. 10 times 10 is 100. Now, say a trader comes along and wants to buy some token A, which is X, they're going to pay for it with token B, which is Y. So as they buy token A, the amount of X in the pool goes down. And because K has to stay at 100, the pool must demand a bigger and bigger increase in Y to make the math work out.
So the formula literally forces the ratio to rebalance on the fly. The token being removed gets more expensive compared to the one being added.
Precisely. That movement x decreasing, y increasing, is what automatically changes the ratio between the two tokens. And that new ratio, well, that is the new price. It's supply and demand, but it's built right into the math.
So liquidity, in theory, always exists.
It's guaranteed by the code. Now, the price you pay might get terrible if you drain too much of one asset, but it's always there.
So if I'm a trader, I'm not trading against a person anymore. Who or what is the counterparty?
You're swapping against the pool itself. And this pool is just a smart contract holding all the assets, token A and token B. It's like a big reservoir of tokens.
And that reservoir is funded by users we call liquidity providers, or LPs.
The LPs. They're kind of the unsung heroes of DeFi.
I was going to say.
They're the users who deposit an equivalent value of both tokens into that contract. And in return for, you know, providing the fuel for the market, they get a share of the fees from every trade that goes through that pool.
So the key idea: traders swap against pools, not people.
That's the bottom line.
Okay, so that brings us right to the practical side of this. We know the trade automatically changes the price. But what actually happens the moment someone hits swap, especially on a large trade?
That's where you run into something called price impact. Most people know it as slippage.
Right.
So price discovery happens automatically, but the size of your trade compared to the size of the pool, that matters a lot.
Sure.
The formula, X times Y equals K, has to hold. So removing a tiny fraction of X from a huge pool only needs a tiny change in Y.
But if you try to take out a huge chunk of X,
then the pool has to demand a disproportionately larger amount of Y to keep K constant. It's not a straight line. This nonlinear adjustment means that bigger trades always get a worse price. You're literally pushing the ratio further down a curve, and that curve gets exponentially steeper.
Okay, that explains the downside for the trader. But what about the risk for the providers? The LPs stocking these pools, why would they ever lose money if they're earning fees on every single trade?
And this is probably the biggest hurdle to understanding AMMs, impermanent loss, IL.
Okay.
LPs face this risk if the market prices of the two tokens they deposited start to really diverge after they put their money in.
Let's make this concrete. Can we use an analogy? Say you have a basket with, I don't know, 10 apples and 10 oranges, and they're worth the same. That's your deposit.
Perfect. Now imagine the price of apples on the open market doubles, but oranges stay the same.
So if I had just held my basket, I'd be pretty happy. My apples are worth a lot more.
Exactly. But the liquidity pool has that mathematical obligation. The AMM sees that the outside price of apples went up. So it knows its internal ratio of apples to oranges is now wrong. It's offering cheap apples.
And so arbitrage traders will jump in?
Instantly. They'll start buying the cheap apples from your pool, and they'll pay for them with the less valuable oranges. And the AMM just lets them do it.
Because it has to. It's forced to change its internal ratio until its price matches the outside market price.
Precisely. So the end result is that the pool ends up with fewer apples, the token that went up in value, and more oranges, the one that didn't. When the LP finally goes to withdraw their funds, they get back fewer of the valuable token and more of the less valuable one than if they had just held them in their own wallet.
And that difference, that's the impermanent loss.
That lost opportunity is impermanent loss. It's not a loss of tokens, it's a loss of value compared to just holding. The formula protected the pool's ratio, but it didn't protect the LP's total value in that diverging market.
Which is why the fees they earn are so important. They have to offset that potential loss.
Exactly. For you, the learner, getting this is key. The biggest risk of being an LP is market divergence.
Let's walk through a quick scenario just to show how the formula actually forces that price change and creates the slippage. We can use super simple numbers.
Great idea. Okay, let's say we have a pool, 100 of token A and 100 of token B.
Okay, so X is 100, Y is 100. Our constant K is 10,000 and the price is 1-to-1.
Perfect. Now, a trader wants to buy 10 token A from that pool.
Now, if the price were static, they'd just pay 10 token B, but we know it's not.
Right. So the trader takes out 10 token A. The new balance of X is 90. So now we have to figure out the new balance of Y that keeps our K at 10,000.
Okay. So we just take 10,000 and divide it by the new X, which is 90.
And 10,000 divided by 90 is about 111.11.
Okay. So the pool now holds 111.1 ohm of token B, which means the trader had to pay 11.111 token B to get their 10 token A.
Correct. Instead of paying 10 for 10, they paid 11.11. They paid what? 11.1% more than the starting price because their trade was big enough to move the ratio.
And that extra 1.11 token B, that's the price impact, the slippage.
That's it. You can see it right there on the mat. The bigger the trade relative to the pool, the steeper that penalty becomes.
That's a super clear way to see it. So What does this all mean when you put these two systems side by side? When should you use a decentralized AMM, and when should you stick with a traditional CEX?
It really just depends on your priorities. If your main concern is speed, deep liquidity for major coins, and especially if you need to use fiat currency like dollars or euros, a CEX is almost always going to be better.
Because they run the order book off-chain, so it's super fast.
Millions of trades a second, near zero latency, and you get much, much better prices on high-volume pairs like Bitcoin and USD. So if you're a big institution moving millions, the tiny slippage on a CEX is going to save you a fortune compared to an AMM.
But you're sacrificing control.
Absolutely. When your assets are on a CEX, you don't actually hold your keys. You have counterparty risk. The exchange could fail. It could get regulated.
And that's where the DEX comes in.
That's where the AM and the DEX become essential. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their biggest benefit is permissionless access and true decentralization. You keep custody of your assets the entire time.
No sign up, no KYC.
And no central party that can freeze your funds or stop you from trading. It's about guaranteed access. That's the core philosophical difference.
What about finding new tokens? Asset availability.
Oh, that's a huge one. CEXs are slow. They have to vet tokens, deal with regulations. Mm-hmm. With DEXs, anyone can create a liquidity pool for any two tokens they want. All they have to do is provide the initial liquidity.
So they're the standard for new, smaller, long-tail assets.
Absolutely. So to summarize, you're using a CEX for big volume, for speed, and for fiat.
And you're using a DEX for new assets, for self-custody, and for censorship-resistant access.
The systems really serve different needs.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to their mechanics. A central order book versus a decentralized formula.
This has been a really, really helpful deep dive. Let's just quickly recap the absolute core concepts we've hit on.
Sounds good. So first, remember that AMMs are this novel primitive. They use a constant math function to do the job of a traditional order book.
Second, that core math, X times Y equals K, it runs the whole market. It forces the price to adjust, which means liquidity is always available, but it comes at a price.
And finally, anyone using these pools, especially the liquidity provider, you have to be aware of price impact on large trades and the risk of impermanent loss if the token prices diverge.
You know, when we step back, what really stands out is just how elegant that mechanism is. It's pretty wild to think that this global multi-billion dollar market is being run by something you first saw in basic algebra.
What's really fascinating is the philosophical weight of it. That formula, X times Y equals K, it mathematically ensures that a path to trade always exists.
Oh.
Always, no matter how volatile things get. So it raises this important question for you, the listener, to think about. If a simple, unchangeable piece of math can guarantee market access and liquidity forever, what's the ultimate future for traditional, slow, intermediated markets that rely on human trust and coordination?
That is a brilliant thought to end on. It really frames the significance of this shift perfectly. For those of you who now feel you've got a handle on the infrastructure of decentralized trading, next time on the Deep Dive, we'll go one layer deeper into DeFi and explore the mechanics of lending and borrowing protocols. Thanks for diving deep with us.